Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that you're able to join me today. It's good to be together in the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And I have been seeking the Lord as to what He would have me share today, and I pray that all of our hearts are open to hear what might be familiar to many of us, but I think we need to get a firm understanding of what exactly happened in the beginning as far as mankind is concerned. Let me explain. As we look around us, look at the world today we live in, something has really gone wrong, hasn't it? There is evil abounding, there's suffering, there's sickness, and believers and non-believers agree that things are really messed up. Things are not good, and they seem to be getting worse. In fact, there's a great desire for those who are meaning well for world peace, peace among the nations. That's a theme. Why desire peace? Well, I truly believe it's because man, deep within, has never forgotten what the original plan of God was. It's a faint echo of Eden, if you will. And so what I want to talk about today is something you don't hear about a lot, but sin. I want to talk about why mankind, why the world is the way it is, and the answer is because of sin. Ecclesiastes 7:29 says, "Truly, this only I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes." The King James says, "This I found out, that God hath made man upright, but they've sought out many inventions." The NLT says, "But I did find this, God created people to be virtuous, but they have each turned to follow their downward path." At this point, I want to just pause in the teaching and share with you a tract that I printed up. And for those of you who are on the mailing list, you know, and if you're not, I'll just share what I do with our partners. I send a monthly letter, and in that monthly letter, as well as when I respond and answer a letter personally, I always include something that might be informational or inspirational, encouraging, or even sometimes humorous. And many times partners send me really inspiring things to share, or I run across them, they mail them in, or someone sends an email. And in this particular case, it was an email coming from Oklahoma, and I just want to share it with you, and it addresses the very thing we're talking about. It's really one of the best explanations to a non-believer on the nature of God. Does God exist? A man went to a barber shop to have his hair cut and beard trimmed. As the barber began to work, they began to have a good conversation. They talked about many things and various subjects. When they eventually touched on the subject of God, the barber said, "I don't believe that God exists." "Why do you say that?" asked the customer. "Well, you just have to go out in the street to realize that God doesn't exist. Tell me, if God exists, would there be so many sick people? Would there be abandoned children? If God existed, there would be neither suffering nor pain. I can't imagine a loving God who would allow all of these things." That expresses the view of a lot of people. You've probably heard that many times. Anyway, this little tract goes on to say, the customer thought for a moment but didn't respond because he didn't want to start an argument. The barber finished his job, and the customer left the shop. Just after he left the barber shop, he saw a man in the street with long, stringy, dirty hair and an untrimmed beard. He looked dirty and unkempt. The customer turned back and entered the barber shop again, and he said to the barber, "You know what? Barbers don't exist." "How can you say that?" asked the surprised barber. "I'm here, and I'm a barber. I just worked on you." "No," the customer exclaimed, "barbers don't exist, because if they did, there would be no people with dirty long hair and untrimmed beards like that man outside." "Ah, but barbers do exist. That's what happens when people don't come in to me." "Exactly," affirmed the customer. "That's the point. God, too, does exist. That's what happens when people do not go to Him and don't look to Him for help. That's why there's so much suffering in the world." If you'd like a copy of that track, Does God Exist? Please feel free to write and note the contact information at the end of the broadcast. So that's a universal question. Why is there so much suffering? Why is the world so bad? Well, the answer for the Christian is simple. We understand it's because of sin. So what I'd like to share about on this broadcast, the remainder of it, and is however long the Lord takes to develop, will be about the fall, a very familiar story, and that day that human history was forever changed, and the day that we both, all of us, need to understand fully to make sense of anything. And we'll do so, we'll have that understanding if we start with the questions: what is the fall, what is sin, and where did sin originate? Now, don't it's so easy when we hear something like this to say, "Oh, well, I know that," and I'm cautioning you, don't turn it off and say, "Well, I've heard that before," because no one of us completely understands it, fully embraces and understands in complete dimension. We, you know, sometimes we just take it lightly, and we must not. So let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to Genesis, the third chapter, and we're going to be looking at the several verses in that chapter. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering." Now, it says, it talks about the serpent. We know that that is the devil. He is and was the original sinner. We read in the book of Revelation, it's very clearly, he's described as that. Let me just read you those few references. In Revelation, the 12th chapter, and in verse 9, the word says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." And then in the 20th chapter of Revelation, verse 2, the word says, "And he lay hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So very clearly we have three characters here, Adam and Eve and the serpent, who is the devil. And it says the serpent was more cunning, which means literally a skillful deceiver. Many theologians say that Lucifer led the rebellion in heaven, obviously, and was cast out. And so really, sin entered the universe, original sin. It really happened in heaven. So Satan begins his temptation. And this is really important. I want us to follow the progression that occurs in the sin process. He begins by tempting Eve to mistrust God's word by changing its meaning, just as he did when he tempted Jesus in the fourth chapter of Matthew. Remember that? Those verses 1 through 11. Jesus had been baptized in the Jordan and in the Holy Spirit, and he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days and nights, and he did not eat. He was fasting. But unlike Jesus, who used the word of God to rebuke the work of the enemy, Eve, instead, rather than rebuking him, entertained his lies, and he was subsequently deceived by his crafty arguments. Beloved, you know, there are some Christians that go around, well, bless God, I've got all power over the power of the enemy, and this is all very true. That's exactly what the Word says. But in their attitude, they tend to be a little arrogant and prideful. And beloved, let me tell you, your adversary is one that has known human nature for a millennium. Don't underestimate your opponent ever. We're not to fear him, but don't underestimate him. He knows, he has resources, he has understanding and ability that we can't even comprehend. And remember, in that fourth chapter of Matthew, that temptation in the wilderness, Jesus was tempted by perverting God, by Satan's perversion of God's word. And he was clear to quote the exact word of God. So, beloved, if we don't know the word of God, we are open to deception. That's the importance of the word. Well, I see my time is quickly running out, and we'll, on tomorrow's broadcast, we'll look at the actual progression in transgression. And you know what? The enemy doesn't change his game plan. He's not original or creative. He has a few tricks up his sleeves, and he continues to use that in various modifications. So it's possible, as the scriptures say, the scriptures counsel us, be not ignorant of his devices, which means that we can learn his ways and be advised not to fall prey to his deception. So with that, I bring this broadcast to a close with also an invitation for you to write and share your prayer needs. It's always such a blessing to hear from my partners. And when a new person writes, it's always a great blessing. And you can either email or use snail mail. I'll respond by snail mail, but it's just a blessing always to hear from you. The announcer will give our contact information. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying may God's best forever.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.